You know, when you're in tune with somebody, when the Spirit of God is working in you, the same way they're working in another person is when you're on the West Coast and they're on the, where, let me see, the difference between Missouri and California. I don't know which coast those are, but at any rate, and here you almost preach the same message. My friend Apostle Marshall and I are both talking about the kingdom of God. I'm Apostle Baker J. Baker, who is a doctor in psychology, and my co-host Apostle Marshall McGee, who's on here today, and we're here to talk to you about the kingdom of God. Come on, Marshall.
It's me.
You can do the advertising, telling people to share, telling people to do all that kind of stuff. You do that better.
Yeah, hi, y'all. Get on the line. Tell somebody we is on the air. We is live and in person, up close and personal. Listen, if you really, maybe you've been around church for a long time. I grew up in church. I'm a church child. I'm a PK. My father was a classical Pentecostal preacher, and everything. I grew up in a household where everything was a sin. Woo. Everything was a sin, for real. And so I don't even know. I had to pretend like I was living for Jesus some days when I wasn't, because my dad, we didn't have no woodshed, but he sure had a belt. It was eight of us, so what he would do, he would line us up.
Something's going on.
Am I muted? I'm sorry. Well, anyway, greetings, everybody. But if you've been in religion a long time, you want to tune in. Because we're going to dive into some things today and perhaps next week or maybe the week after as well, that I really believe that the Holy Spirit is putting, if I can use this word, pressure on us, and he is expanding and stretching our spiritual consciousness so that we can hold, not only hold, but also release that he's speaking to us now and that he wants to be communicated to his body. Hi. Hi, Geneva, and hey, Tracy, my sister. Hi there, and Luis, and everybody tuning in, Stephen. Anyway, we're having a slight technical difficulty, but we're going to overcome it because we overcome everything through Christ. What we're going to do, we're going to dive into some of this, like I said, perhaps this week and into the next week or so, but we're going to really see how much Holy Spirit allows us to open this up as we start dialoguing and talking about kingdom citizenship. I think this is a subject that we talk a lot about the kingdom. There's a lot of teaching about the kingdom. A lot of people mention the kingdom. But the reality is very few people know how to, first of all, recognize it, and then how to live in the reality of it. And one of the mandates that Father has commissioned me to communicate in the earth realm is this reality of kingdom life and kingdom living. If we're going to be successful as believers and kingdom citizens, then this reality must begin to become more real in the heart and the life of believers. I think it's important to understand that, because if we don't, then we're going to miss it. Remember, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 21, Yeshua, Jesus said, the kingdom, he talks about that, Luke 20, 21, he talks about the kingdom doesn't come with observation or us because we look for it. But he makes the statement in verse 21, the kingdom is in the hearts of men, or the kingdom is within you. I'm sorry. The kingdom is within you, which Holy Spirit helped me to understand that unless the Holy Spirit, who's the Holy Governor, reveals in people's hearts the reality of the kingdom, they'll never see how to live in it, because there must be, watch this, a revelation of it in your heart. That's why Jesus said it's in you, but he has to, the Holy Governor, the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to you by moving the veil so you can see it. Because if you can't see it, you'll never be able to live in the reality of it. In John 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, this is so important. He got into this conversation, but the point I want to get to, he said, you must be, Jesus responded to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he went on to say in that conversation, you must be born of the water and the spirit if you're going to see how to enter into the kingdom. So being born again is one of the ways that we gain access into the kingdom, but the whole principle there is not just having access. He said, unless you are born again, anathen in the Greek, or anothen, unless you are born anew or born from above. I like to say it like this. Unless in the spirit, through the born again experience, we can return to the place that the first man, Adam, fell from, will never be able to see into the reality of kingdom life and kingdom living. Because remember, when you look into the scriptures, it's about his kingdom. It's about his rule. It's about his dominion. It's about citizens. It's about colonization and all these things that religion did never talk to you about. Well, we're going on a journey. I see you stirred. Go ahead, woman of God, apostle.
No, this is so interesting. Because what happened yesterday is, and actually I sent you a copy of what it was that happened in our service yesterday. I had to open this thing up where living in the kingdom of God, the Bible says that... There's a lot of noise going behind. What is that? Okay. Any rate, the thing that we've made a mistake on is that our evangelism has been going in the wrong direction. We've gone out just to get people saved. And then what happens is this. We don't realize that there is a place for everyone in the kingdom, that everybody is searching for the kingdom. Everybody is searching for the kingdom. We find that all through the Bible. I came out of Luke 19 yesterday, and in Luke 19, it lets us know that God wants us. He says he wants us to reach into the kingdom. He wants us to live out of the kingdom. And one of the things in the kingdom of God that we don't realize is this: you own nothing. You own absolutely nothing. You don't own your breath. The problem is that we do not realize. People do not realize. I'm beginning to realize the fact, the truth of it is that this body does not belong to me. When the spirit of truth came to live on the inside of it, it became a place of kingdom authority. It became a place that the king lived. It means that, the king is the owner. He says, I own everything. You own nothing. Your thoughts, your opinion, your doing things. It is totally irrelevant in the kingdom of God. And that's the thing that most people are not willing to give up. When he says this, that is more difficult for a rich man, it's more difficult for those that are called themselves intellectual. It's more difficult for those that have a life already planned out. It's more difficult for those that think they got it together. It's more difficult for those that want to beg another government to take care of them. It's more difficult for them to enter into the kingdom of God, because it means total submission, total surrender, total submittedness unto God. And when you're not willing to do that, we can talk that talk. But then when you worry about your bills, you worry about this. In Matthew 6, it is a powerful thing, because it goes on telling you how to live in the kingdom. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. It goes on telling you all of those things. And then it gets down to Matthew 6:33. Well, it's telling you now, I'm going to show you how to live that way. I'm going to show you how to live. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. Seek not to want any of those things. Seek not to look after those things. Seek not to do it. And to realize that I have a plan that you don't know about. I mean, it's powerful to live in here. It is powerful to live in here. And every day, Apostle Marshall, every day I'm finding myself less and less owner of me. And not caring about what I think. Not caring about what I want. Not caring about what somebody else's think. I can only care about what he thinks. So at any rate, I just want to throw that out there.
You know what? This is, as we're getting into this, you know, as you mentioned that, the scripture came to me, I believe it was over in Luke 18, somewhere down in there, down around verse 22 or somewhere down in there, it talks about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he said, what must I do to inherit this kingdom life or eternal life? How do I reconnect to the God of my fathers? And Jesus said, well, he said, keep the commandments, so forth. And the young man said, well, you know, I did all this ever since I was a young man. I've kept all of that. He said, what else do I need to do? Or is there anything else that I need to do? And then Jesus responds, and I may not be telling it like, I'm just telling it Marshall's way right now. But he said, sell all you have and give to the poor. It was something like that. The principle was, and the scripture says, all that he had built, all that he had accumulated, this is me, my paraphrase, he couldn't see giving that up to follow Jesus so he could really gain this thing called eternal life, but let's call it kingdom life. He was not willing to give it up. The principle that we miss is, and here's the kingdom principle there. Jesus is saying, just like you said, if you can acknowledge that you don't own anything, and what you have, if you can take what you have and turn it over to the king's government, that's what he was saying. You don't own anything. If you can get to the place where you get and understand in the kingdom of the Father, we don't own anything. But whatever we own or have, we turn it over to the king. It's kind of like when I travel overseas, and when we get on the plane, they pass out these, I don't know if these, well, last, I forgot, it's been a few years since I've traveled, since COVID, and then I've had this surgery. So, but I remember that we would have to declare to the government what we had, if we purchased a certain amount of money, goods for a certain amount of money, we would have to declare to the government. And one of the ways we do that, one of the kingdom ways we do that now, is we declare what we have by the giving of the tithe. That's one of the ways we declare to the government, this is what I have, and here is what, anyway, y'all get it. Y'all with me. Y'all flowing with me, right? And so this thing becomes important because if we're going to enter, we have to also come into the innocence of a little child. And not trust me, but trust our king. I remember growing up in my house, and my house, my kid, even my in my parents' home, but even in this house, my kids never asked me, what are we going to eat? Or they never asked me for clothing. They didn't even know what I had to do to get the stuff. They never asked me. They didn't even care what it cost. They said, Dad, I need to go over here, and I signed up for this, and it costs X amount of dollars, and so on and so forth. And they didn't know I had to, like, Lord, where am I going to get this money? They didn't know what I, you know, all they knew was they were subjected or subject to our household, and they saw me as their father, which I am their father, but they saw me as the one that brought provision. So all they know was they had a bed to sleep in. They never had to beg to go to the refrigerator to get food. Isn't that interesting? Yet they didn't own anything, but they knew they had access to everything that was in that house. My grown children, if they come to my house now, they just make themselves at home because they have access. So this is one of the ideas of when we come into the kingdom and we release what we have. And I just wanted to re-emphasize that truth. You don't own anything. You have no ownership. Wow.
May I interject? Let me interject something. Yesterday I read the whole, read the whole chapter. So nothing would be taken out of context. And this is Luke 19, but I got down to verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." Not those, but that which was lost. He came to seek and to save the kingdom of God. The kingdom was lost. Adam lost the kingdom. And so he came to restore. He came to save. He came to bring into the ability for us to enter into it, the kingdom of God. And we forget it even in our evangelism. We go out and we're going to go out and save the lost. We're going to go out and save the lost, the kingdom that was lost. We're going out to introduce people to the kingdom of God, and then to explain, to tell them, to teach them about Jesus, who it was that supplied this kingdom for them so that they can understand this. And these are the things that we're missing. Instead of preaching Jesus, we go out and preach Jesus and then don't tell nobody about the kingdom. We're supposed to go out and preach the kingdom and then let them know about Jesus. He's the one that supplied this for you. He is the one that got this back for you. He is the one that had designed this for you even before the foundation of the earth. He is the one that did it. And then telling people how it is to get into this. My God, everybody is looking for the kingdom. Everybody wants to be in control of their lives. Everybody wants to have something. Everybody wants to rule. Everybody wants to reign. Everybody wants to be a king. You can call my kings and queens if you want to. I don't see the queen in there. I see where it says the king, kings and lords. I'm a king of a king, king of a king, and a lord of a lord. A priest, all of this stuff. Because what we do is we take it as gender. That's the reason people never enter the kingdom of God, because we're looking at the flesh side of it too much. I'm excited about this.
So good. Yeah, we just got to get it right. Because remember, Christianity is a religion, but it's not the kingdom. And there are things we learned in Christianity that have frustrated kingdom manifestation and understanding in our lives of so many people. Understand that religion points you to the future so you'll get relief in the future. It always puts everything off, because religion is not concerned with you leaving the earth or even affecting the earth. So what religion would do, it'll postpone the kingdom to a future time. And here's the fact, the truth. You cannot appropriate or utilize what you postpone. If you don't believe that the kingdom of God is here now, you will not expect to experience. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has arrived, meaning it is here present now. It is not coming. It is here. Yet there's, wow. So he said, repent. Change your mind. And we may repent, or also another word that we made it around religion. And basically he's saying, change how you've been thinking about the kingdom. Because if you don't change your thinking, you won't be able to live in the reality of it, because it is not religious. It is a kingdom. It has a government. And the government has it has laws. It has citizens. It has subjects, so to speak. And so until we understand that context, and in a government, you know, when you're part of a government, you're not a member, because members don't have rights. They can get privileged sometimes, but members don't have rights. In the kingdom, you become a citizen, and that gives you legal status. Even kingdom righteousness implies that you have rights. And if you got rights, my God. And so unless we understand the true constitution of a kingdom, because kingdoms have constitutions which governs how they're supposed to operate, and God blessed us with the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the holy governor. Because I believe that even in the beginning, the first man, Adam, was connected to the person of the Holy Spirit. And it was the downloads that he received from God's government through the person of the Holy Spirit that enabled him to rule and govern and manage this place called Earth. Now, in the fall, he lost that. But over in the Gospels, I think it's Matthew 20, somewhere over there, but y'all can look it up. Y'all smart. Y'all know how to Google stuff. Jesus said, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a prophetic picture. But more than that, it was a throwback, if you will, when the Father breathed on the first man, Adam. And he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. He became a living soul because he breathed. And so what he's saying over there, he said, take again the Spirit. Re, that means again, and seed. Take again the Spirit that the first man, Adam, disconnected from, and the Holy Governor in the person of the Holy Spirit will reconnect you to the reality of kingdom life and kingdom living, and he will show you how to live in that reality. He even gave us a prayer language, because speaking in tongues, I know the enemy fights tongues and certain religious belief systems fight tongues, but one of the reasons he gave us tongues it's the language of the kingdom. Yeah, we love speaking in tongues because it's the language of the kingdom. And so all of this gives us the ability to properly outwork kingdom influence in the earth realm, because ultimately, I had a couple of scriptures, but we'll get to them. A part of the goal is to colonize. Everybody trying to go to heaven, but you know what? If you go now, he won't be happy to see you. I'm just going to tell you, okay? He will not be happy to see you, right? And so
that I won't be happy to see him either. I ain't in no hurry. I do not want to go.
I'm trying to get out of here because we ain't even began to fulfill the mandate of God's government that he's assigned us to before we even came into the earth realm. The scripture says that we were chosen in him, Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of this particular earth realm. We were already in him, and then he spoke us into existence. So we were already there, we are already chosen because he gave us an assignment that we must fulfill as kingdom citizens in the earth realm. So again, this becomes so important because the desire of the Father is for you and I to enter the kingdom now.
Marshall, when we go out evangelizing, we're supposed to be evangelizing sons. It is not to get somebody to repeat a prayer, but the sonship was lost. And in that sonship being lost, to be able to operate in the kingdom of God, to receive in the kingdom of God, the way that we are supposed to receive in the kingdom of God. Our whole mannerism of evangelism has to change. We're not going out to get people to repeat a prayer so that they can come in into a life to make you feel good. It is coming into a governmental understanding of who you are. And when we say that, we're going to have to start to explain this to people of who you are. I am a son, kingdom citizen. I am a son. I'm a king. I'm a Lord, which means that I lord over what it is that he ultimately owns. So therefore, I live with open hands. I own nothing. I owe nothing. I have need of nothing because I am here to do what he does in heaven, I am to do on earth. And we better stop praying the prayer of Matthew 6 as if the kingdom has not come. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That was before the cross. Now I thank you that the kingdom is in me. I release the kingdom. Our Father who's in heaven, help us to release the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
There's a total difference. I'm sorry. I'm excited about this subject. This is my subject. This is what I was born for. This is the subject he gave me all those years ago, for almost 50 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it's been. This is the subject he gave. I came into the kingdom with Matthew 6:33.
Wow.
I don't know nothing else. And now it's beginning to come so alive, and I'm over operating and hanging out with people that are faking it. I'm over it.
Yes, we become good at using language with no real connection to the reality of it. And it's disheartening because how are men going to know these realities if we ultimately can't manifest them in our life? Because ultimately, this is supposed to affect every area of our life. So when he's saying, I'm coming to seek and save which is lost, it's the kingdom.
That's right. That's it. That's it. And Marsha, we're out of time.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. We thank you for joining us. Remember, look on my website also for the Optimize Your Brain Challenge and become an affiliate. I mean, you know, become an affiliate, earn some finances and stuff, come into the challenge and all. I'm Apostle Baker J. Baker, who's the head doctor in that, and Apostle Marshall McGee, who's actually in parts of this. And we're here to tell it like it is, the kingdom of God way, so that you prosper in everything that you do. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Kingdom First TV, your station for kingdom inspiration.